For many Americans, WorldCom appeared on the radar screen 5 years ago. MCI, the number two long-distance carrier and the company that had broken Ma Bell's monopoly, was at that time 20% owned by British Telecom, and in 1997, BT wanted to buy the rest of the company, but looked at MCI's debts incurred by buying local phone companies and reduced its offer. Enter a Mississippi-based company called WorldCom and its CEO, a man named Bernie Ebbers.
Our offer is superior to BT's offer. We are offering a higher price, a higher premium, and most importantly, a higher performing stock. Price, premium, and performance.
For $49 billion, WorldCom concluded one of the biggest corporate mergers ever. Over the past 5 years, we've often turned to Scott Cleland for analysis of WorldCom. He watches the telecommunications industry for his firm, the Precursor Group. Scott Cleland, first, some background on WorldCom. What was this company?
Well, it started on the back of a napkin in a Mississippi coffee shop where Bernie Ebbers was a gym teacher who said the breakup of AT&T could lead to deregulation and opportunity. So he bought a telephone company and he ended up buying 60 all told.
How did this company get so big that it was able to buy MCI by 1997?
Well, in the stock market, there is something we call momentum, and we also call a roll-up strategy, where one company buys up other companies' revenues and then cuts the overhead, and the market likes it because they value bigger companies more. And so his stock had what was called growth momentum from an acquisition strategy.
I mean, here was a company that started out, as I understand it, they were just really selling long-distance service. No hardware. They were selling long-distance service that, say, AT&T actually had the equipment for, making money off of a sales operation, using their revenues to buy other telephone-related companies.
Yes. And that's because none of their companies were fully using their capacity. And so if they bought another company's customers and revenues, they could move it over to their network and lower their costs.
Wall Street was so impressed with this company, the way it ran the companies, that it valued its stock so high that it was able to buy MCI. What did it do with it?
Well, that was a stunning development. It was essentially, you know, the fish swallowing the whale. But it really kind of signaled the beginning of the end for WorldCom MCI, because the regulators at that time said, your roll-up strategy is over. You've reached the antitrust limit. And Bernie Ebbers was told by the government at that time, don't come back with another merger.
You mean WorldCom had succeeded by swallowing up businesses, getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And MCI was going to be the last bite of the apple, or the last apple swallowed whole in that case.
Yes. Then along came their acquisition of Sprint. And they had been told by the regulators and the antitrust officials that they shouldn't come back another time. And this time around, their acquisition of Sprint got blocked on antitrust grounds.
So it wasn't going to get any bigger. And then people lost confidence in it.
Yes. Well, when you have a growth stock that is driven by acquisition and it hits an acquisition wall, then it has to turn to a new growth strategy. And the problem was, is there was no other growth strategy that was anywhere near as fast a growth as the synthetic growth strategy of buying companies. And so what they needed to do, as we now know that they restated earnings, is they had to cook the books in order to create the appearance of that momentum.